It's Illume Group's Andrea Lay, Packed View's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Wooden Hill Shri, and I'm PVSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 22nd, and of course it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We found them boundlessly intriguing. We hope you do too. Brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Leading off, Shri.
Thank you, Peter. And Amazon Live introduces a new shoppable ad-supported channel to Prime Video called Freevee, featuring 24/7 interactive content from celebrities and brands, leveraging its Shop the Show technology to enhance viewer engagement and boost its advertising revenue. At least that's the plan. The channel leverages Amazon's Shop the Show technology to enable viewers to easily purchase content seen on the TV screen via a mobile device. The CPG guys and I are excited to try this out, and we will report back how it performs back here in one of our blogs on the CPG guys. So I look forward to that. Over to you, Peter, for what's going on with Walmart Marketplace.
Thanks, Shri. Walmart Marketplace opens Omni service to auto sellers. Walmart is enabling customers to order eligible tires from Walmart sellers and have them shipped to a local Walmart store for easy installation at their auto care centers. Walmart sellers have added 12,000 unique items, including specialty tires, to provide nearly 40,000 marketplace offers that are installation eligible at 2,300 auto care centers around the country. The expanded tire selection complements Walmart's existing auto services that include accessories and battery services, while giving sellers more access to Walmart's omnichannel customer base. Over to you, Andrea.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Amazon begins offering Dash Carts to other grocers. Amazon has begun offering its Dash Carts to third-party grocers, expanding the checkout technology beyond Amazon grocery banners and Whole Foods market stores, according to a blog post from the company. Amazon introduces Dash Carts to non-Amazon grocery stores, starting with select locations in the Kansas City area. This rollout comes shortly after Amazon ceased its Just Walk Out technology in Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods. Customers using Dash Carts tend to spend 10% more, with over 80% of the transactions from repeat users, highlighting the cart's convenience and efficiency. Over to you, Melissa.
So Heinz has launched a new limited edition barbecue sauce. Heinz and Barbie lovers in Europe are in luck. A limited edition pink vegan mayo with barbecue sauce was launched to celebrate Barbie's 65th anniversary. Mattel and Heinz have unveiled the new Heinz Classic barbecue sauce. It will be available in the UK and Spain initially, and may be available elsewhere in the future. Additionally, there's 5,000 bottles of the new sauce available to purchase online, but they can only be shipped to the UK and Ireland. So for those of you in the US who are curious, you can do what I do and go to TikTok and search pink barbecue sauce, and you will find it.
Thank you, Melissa. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Shri Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Shri and Peter.
Welcome, folks, to this episode of the CPG Guys podcast. I'm, of course, Shri, the West Coast CPG guy, but missing today is the East Coast CPG guy, a.k.a. the man with the golden voice, known as Peter V.S. Bond. Tomorrow marks the beginning of Asian Pacific Heritage Month here in the U.S., celebrating Asian heritage and its contributions to American society. I have personally led the PepsiCo Asian Network for over a 10-year period back in my career. This stuff gets personal to me. My daughter, of course, an American Idol finalist back in 2015. Ria Raj is releasing her next single, Outside, with Lunch Money Lewis on May 20th. Check it out on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, of course. Her handle on Insta, TikTok, etc. is at Ria Raj. That's R-H-E-A-R-A-J. And my buddy, Mr. Peter S. Bond, Peter V. S. Bond, my co-host, of course, is also the VP of Partner Strategy and Dev at Fetch Rewards. So let me remind our audience that all of our content may be found by visiting cpgguys.com on a browser. If you aren't already following us on LinkedIn, all you got to do is go to the search box up top left, type CPG Guys, and when you get to our page, simply hit the blue plus button, which also indicates follow. That way you'll get to see all of the content we produce, and of course there's no charge for our content. It's always been about the education and sharing journey and introduce you all to new service providers, and it'll remain that way. Remember to check out the FMCG Guys podcast hosted by our friends Daniel, Efrain. They take the CPG Guys podcast format across the pond and speak to retail and FMCG luminaries from a European perspective. All you got to do is visit fmcgguys.com. And we're proud to partner with Next Up, also known as the Network of Executive Women in a Past Life, whose mission it is to advance all women in business and to promote the cause of gender equality and career development. Visit nextupisnow.org to learn more about this great group. And in the middle of Wednesday episodes, you can find an Easter egg from us on their upcoming seminars and events. Just as I said a little while ago, we love to introduce you all to new service providers. And today's episode is just one of those. None other than Sigmoid. This is, of course, episode 2 with Sigmoid. Episode 1 featured Mayur Rustagi, the co-founder and CTO, and a guest from Mondelez back on March 26, 2022. So if you're scrolling, looking for episode 1, it's March 26th. Sigmoid is a preferred data engineering and AI solutions partner to Fortune 1000 companies in the United States. Recently, congratulations to Sigmoid for being recognized in the Deloitte Technology Fast 500 winners list for not one, but second consecutive year in a row. Data continues to be a word that challenges many of us in business as integration, collection, artificial intelligence, and normalization are the anchors. To decompose just this very world of managing data for meaningful reporting, analytics, insight, we are joined in partnership today by Taj Piran, VP of Digital E-Commerce and Brand Engagement in Reckitt, and our partners from Rahul Kumar Singh, Chief Analytics Officer and co-founder of Sigmoid, who's also one of the 50 most influential AI leaders in India. And you know I'm going to dig into the show and figure out what that is so y'all know how he got to be one of the 50 most influential AI leaders in India. Join me in welcoming to the podcast both Taj and Rahul. Taj and Rahul, welcome, folks. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having us today.
So thanks, Sri. It's really great to be here. Mayur had a great time in the last conversation, and we are looking forward to a great conversation in this podcast. Thanks again.
You bet, gentlemen. That's the plan. Every time on the CPG Guys, every conversation's great. So this one's not going to be any different. If it's not, we're going to make sure it is. So no worries. Before we, of course, get to the questions we have for our conversation, Rahul, may I ask you first, for the purpose of our audience to know, where they can learn more about Sigmoid, and give us a brief introduction to Sigmoid and your role specifically.
Sure, Sri. So Sigmoid helps enterprises achieve a significantly higher success rate in their investments in data analytics and AI initiatives. Personally, I head data science group in Sigmoid. First, we work with our customers to define measurable and objective success definitions for complex business goals. Second, we take ownership to achieve those defined goals in a cost-effective and timely fashion. So that is, in brief, what we do as a company. And you can find more about us at sigmoid.com. That is S-I-G-M-O-I-D.com.
I love that in your introduction, Rahul, you actually said you take ownership of results. Very few who come here on the show have ever used that statement. So we're going to jump into what that means. And then, Taj, what is your role at Reckitt?
For sure. I had the digital and consumer engagement practice for the vitamins business, where I lead the, vitamin brands such as Airborne for vitamin C or Nuriva for brain health. I'm responsible for the overall media strategy and driving brand and consumer engagement and e-commerce growth for the business unit.
Awesome. Thank you for that, gentlemen. We'll include links to both your LinkedIn profile, the Sigmoid website, Reckitt's corporate side for the digital line in the digital liner notes of this podcast for the sake of our audience. So I'm going to jump right in and get us going here for this episode. And Rahul, I'm going to start with you. And I'd love to know your inspiration. What ended up getting Sigmoid started? What was your part of the inspiration in that? And tell us about the data science practice and how the data science practice is delivering measurable outcomes for CPG customers.
Sure. So I founded Sigmoid in 2013 with two of my IIT batchmates, Lokesh and Mayur. We had a common goal to help companies make faster and smarter business decisions using data and AI. And that was primarily the skill set that all of us had developed over the course of time. So today, what we have achieved in the last 9 years is we help companies in their data analytics journey building custom data solutions to solve complex business challenges. We have emerged amongst the fastest growing company in North America and are even recognized amongst the best firms for data scientists to work for. So a little bit about my practice. The data science practice in Sigmoid is I purposefully built it to make every engagement that we are part of a success story. So we give a lot of emphasis on how we are converting our engagements to a success. And not only for us, but also for the customer. And that is the primary important aspect. We achieve that with a very carefully designed problem solving and project delivery framework. And on top of that, we have built a collaborative framework where experts of different skill sets, they can come together, execute really complex AI initiative in a very reliable fashion. Because as all of us know, that data initiatives are typically require several different type of experts of different fields. For CPG enterprises, we help them in three different ways. First, we define their data strategy and analytics roadmap along with their internal teams. We modernize data architecture and accelerate cloud and AI adoption. So we help them in getting adoption of new technologies and open source technologies, even the new technologies which are coming through cloud. And we also leverage AI, ML, and these open source technology to achieve success in the business initiatives and business goals like personalization, demand forecasting, RGM, specifically in CPG industry. We have developed and implemented successful data-driven frameworks for our customers in the past and across all business functions. And some examples are marketing, sales, manufacturing, or supply chain.
Thanks for that, Rahul. Taj, I trolled you a little bit on LinkedIn to look at what your career history is, and it looks like you've been at Mead Johnson and now Reckitt. So let's try to understand what a day in your life looks like at Reckitt, as well as in that day in your life at Reckitt, all that Rahul just said, right? He talked about accelerating cloud, AI adoption, personalization. RGM is a big deal, but we're going to get to RGM later because, Rahul, I'm going to ask you more about RGM. But before we get there, how is all that stuff relevant in your day job? And how are data and insights shaping your marketing strategy?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a great question. And just to start off with, right, I head up the digital and the e-commerce and brand engagement for Reckitt, which basically, if you break it down, combines the elements of consumer journey, campaign planning and activation, audience building, creative strategy, performance marketing, and, you know, facilitating online growth and e-commerce. So essentially, to enable that, I lead a team that is skilled in media, digital, e-commerce, creative, and data strategy, right? But so our work really day-to-day can be focused in three main pillars. One is when you're planning for new product launches, new campaigns, and that can include audience creation, definition, consumer journey. And then second is like reviewing performance of the brands or campaigns that are in market. So taking decisions to spur growth, reinvest our money, optimize our marketing spend. So that's the first one, right? The second one is really building a brand ecosystem in social or other own channels like a website. So through best-in-class creative or influencer activation, essentially ensuring that a brand story comes to life in the most authentic way. And the third, finally, is building our e-commerce, you know, channels, pure play, omni, growth, you know, accelerating digital penetration or adoption. So that's essentially what the remit of me and my team is. And so if you think about all these three pillars, what's core of this is data and insights. And that's essentially what drives our marketing strategies. So such as identifying new trends that can help launch new products, leveraging data to inform who our consumer is, what channels are they most likely going to engage in, right? And what messaging really resonates with them. And from a performance marketing standpoint, we're looking at metrics across the channel, audience, creative, you know, like media, digital metrics. But even further than that, we look at sales and attribution metrics to inform, you know, on a marketing strategy. And we're going to dig deeper into what that really means. We're going to dissect that, right? But just in a simple layman terms, from a data analytics perspective, you know, things like looking at Amazon attribution to find out what channel is converting best within the platform. Or we can take a look at Google search trends, right, to find out when seasonality is at play for some of our products. Or we can take a look at basket data, you know, of our consumers, our existing consumers, to kind of inform the audience strategy for, you know, the targeting new consumers, right? So it's essentially everything that we do, you know, uses data in one way or the other. But it's really not something we got overnight. It was a transformation journey, you know, shifting to a framework of hyper-targeting, developing the right structure, hiring the right people, the skilled team, and capabilities, and making sure we have the right culture at the heart of it, of testing and collaboration.
Oh, there was never a doubt in my mind that stuff can be built overnight, especially in this digital journey, which CPG has largely lagged in, that I've experienced in my own day jobs and past career roles. But the one thing, Taj, I do want you to connect it back for us. You started by saying optimization of marketing spend is one of your three roles, right? Is Sigmoid actually helping you, or do they have a role in data processing or anything in that space?
Yeah, a big portion of what they help us do, and I think we're going to get deeper, is this whole attribution model that helps us understand where our money is being spent. How is it being spent? Is it driving sales offline, which is essentially the biggest challenge in the industry. You know, I can spend all the digital money I have, and I have all these metrics, but is it truly moving the needle from a sales perspective? That's the question we're going to answer today.
So, Taj, not too many CPG companies have been good at doing the attribution modeling. Marketing has relied on attribution for way too long, way beyond digital, right? It's my pet peeve for 25 years as a veteran in the industry, but I'll come back to it. Thank you for that. So let me jump over to Rahul, right? Rahul, most CPG companies today recognize that now the digital world, as Todd just alluded to, require a new approach to how you measure marketing spend, right? Attribution is one such way. Tell our audience how your multi-touch attribution accelerator helps to optimize marketing spends and drive revenue. Because here on the CPG Guys, we don't like to use acronyms. We like to decompose acronyms. Take 60 seconds also, Rahul, to tell people what a multi-touch attribution model is.
So multi-touch attribution primarily tries to look at different marketing channels that a customer touches through their journey with the brand recognition, and during their journey, which of those channels and touch points are actually contributing more towards your sales and towards your revenue, right? And different business teams might have very different kind of goals that they are trying to achieve, but whatever is your goal, you ultimately want to attribute to your investments at the end of the day, right? So CPG companies are also looking for reliable ways to map their digital investments to these actual numbers that we talked about. And it becomes very crucial at a time when we are heading towards a kind of a world where cookie-less and customer privacy laws are becoming very prevalent, like GDPR, CCPA. So all these different kind of policy regulations, they're impacting the ability of marketers and brand managers to actually measure performance of their campaigns. Another important aspect is it is a very important area. So in most of our discussion, we see that spend optimization is a core focus area for CPG. They spend a large amount of investments in this particular area. And to break it down further, this particular problem. So ultimately, a business goal is like measuring revenue, viewability, reach, impressions, and so on. There are different goals that your team might be trying to achieve. And all these goals they want to achieve in a most cost-effective manner, because investment is a sort of limited resources that they have. So it ultimately comes down to how many experiments you can run in the amount that you have. And you're not losing a significant part of your investments in failed experiments, because ultimately nobody, no marketing person knows which idea will actually click in the market. So they have to run experiments, but you need to get a very faster response and feedback on those campaigns. So we need to accurately and quickly predict the success potential of these experiments, right? And this is where our multi-touch attribution accelerator comes in. It is a productized service that we have built for CPG marketers along with Reckitt's team. And brand managers, they can optimize their digital advertising spends using the insights that this solution develops for them. This solution enables in-flight campaign optimization, which was a core ask from a lot of marketers to us, how we can sort of achieve that capability, because most of the feedback that they get are post-campaign basis. And so we have built a faster, more accurate dashboard who can actually measure marketing tactics at a very granular level. And within 1 to 2 weeks of performance, they can actually measure their campaigns. Another important aspect is which is about techniques. So typically a lot of companies attempt to build these systems internally with their sort of either their vendors or with their internal teams. But the most common methodologies of machine learning actually fails for CPG industry because a typical way of multi-touch attribution requires customer information and a lot of it. And that is something which is not available to a lot of brands. And from that perspective, you need to build methodologies that can tackle that situation. Now, the common methodologies, regression, Bayesian optimization, and all, they fail to give a faster response because they need to collect data for a certain period of time to learn an average behavior from these marketing campaigns. So we delivered a new capability to Reckitt and our customers, where we tried a new approach or built a new approach based on quasi-experimentation design that can actually overcome these barriers and deliver on speed, cost, and scale at the same time, right? So these are, I think, most important aspects that we added. The platform that we built, it is also customizable for different marketers' need, fast and scalable across different geographies. So that is what we are helping with this particular accelerator.
That's awesome. I know the biggest takeaway for me in everything you said right there, Rahul, is the speed. You talked of within 1 to 2 weeks after the end of a campaign being able to analyze so that the very next campaign you run is not a 3-month data modeling exercise, which is what the industry is normally used to. I want to make sure our audience catches that in your partnership, the speed to acceleration to be able to deliver faster result. So let's jump to Taj and ask that very question, right? So you gave a brief highlight of how you're kind of managing your outcomes from an optimization perspective with Sigma. Let's jump into it on a much deeper level this time. And that very multi-touch attribution should mean that you can connect their capabilities directly with your e-commerce results, as well as adjusting how you're successful. So get into the details. Tell us if that's true, how Sigmoid is helping you, and the value you're getting from it.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, the first thing that's super important as you talk about, and Rahul touched on this, is, you know, ability to get all the data that we have of our campaigns, whether it's paid or unknown, right? Even from an e-commerce perspective, all in a single platform. And that's what Sigmoid first helped us. You know, how do you normalize all this data, get it in a single place? And then from there, of course, you can get the data, but how do you start to develop visual dashboards so the team can actually look at the impact of the campaigns, right? So we have access to real-time dashboards that basically break out channel performance. It breaks out audience performance at a creative level. It breaks out, you know, an audience and, you know, ensures that we can look at appropriate investments and identify which of those aspects are really working for us. And I think Rahul touched on this. He called it quasi-experimental approach, you know, and that's super important for us, right? So what we do is we generate experiments or hypotheses, and we say, what happens if we tweak a certain investment in a certain channel? And let's take a look at the output of that, not just digital metrics, but let's take a look at what's it doing for, you know, sales. Because the model itself not just takes a digital metric, but it also takes both online and offline sales, you know, from our feeds connected to all retailers into the platform. So we can essentially measure at a geo level and a DMA level, how is the impact to our metrics, digital campaigns performing with an output, which is the POS or sales, right? And of course, by applying these machine learning algorithms over time, you can start to see the dips and troughs arises based on investment. And then what you do is you start to experiment and say, is this creative working better? Is this audience working better? Let me invest more in Facebook. Let me invest more on, you know, YouTube and see what the impact is if that is in a certain geo, Chicago, New York. Within New York, you can break it down further as well. But you touched on a very important aspect of e-commerce. How do you really leverage from an e-commerce perspective? And they do. And the idea for this really is, look, a lot of the e-com sales we get, let's say pure play on, you know, Amazon, is really based on search, and that's attributed to paid media. But what happens to the organic sales that is happening in the Amazon? A lot of that is also an effect of the out-of-platform media or the brand equity that we have, right? And so what we do is we really take all the non-attributed Amazon sales that's not attributed to media, and that essentially helps us understand how our out-of-platform media is actually impacting the organic POS sales in platform. And that's super important because we can then essentially optimize our overall media investment, not just to generate offline sales, let's say in a Walmart store, but also on Amazon. And the more you can do that, you build your relevancy, you start gaining organic shelves, and of course, your flywheel starts to turn, right? So hopefully that kind of paints a holistic picture. But I just wanted to kind of end by saying, you know, prior to this model, the only way we had access to something like this was post-campaign, right? You essentially do post-campaign research studies or you know, attribution. And I think you're right, is attribution keyword is not, you know, fully understood by the industry. And that's post-campaign. Really can't do that in flight. And that was expensive and time-consuming. What the Sigmoid in-house model helps us do is, you know, ensures biweekly insights are generated in the most cost-efficient manner, because we put the offline sales every 2 weeks real time into the database so we can start to see the impact of our activation.
It's good to hear, Taj. I mean, to me, again, the big takeaway is what I hear you say is, you know, Rahul kind of earlier alluded to speed to market of results. And what I hear you kind of saying is that speed to market is a big thing you're kind of leveraging so that the very next time you're doing it, you're getting the insights to go into the actual campaign. But the biggest word I think that you are kind of alluding to at the end of the day that really kind of gets my brain to think of how great this partnership is and can be is the fact that you said you get organic results go forward. So the work that you're doing with Sigmoid, you're fine-tuning so that you're not only now dependent just on campaign dollars, some portion of your results is the work this work is alluding to is organic success.
Absolutely.
Hey, man, if let me tell you guys, if Sigmoid is contributing directly to organic results at the end of the day in e-commerce, more power to you guys, man. Well done, Rahul. Well done, Sigmoid team. And of course, Taj, so you do, I want to give a little bit of an applause here as a CPG guy that you've been you know, savvy enough to create a partnership where you're delivering that for your brands at Reckitt. That's pretty cool. Let me remind the audience that we're speaking with Rahul, Chief Analytics Officer, co-founder of Sigmoid, and Taj Piran, VP of Digital Commerce and Brand Engagement at Reckitt. So Rahul, let's go to the buzzword of the day. Largely artificial intelligence is still a buzzword within the CPG industry. Others have come here, they've decomposed it actually pretty well. I want to challenge you to do the same thing. Decompose what artificial intelligence means from an outcome perspective. Then how is Sigmoid leveraging AI? I truly want to get into just AI over here. Taj, feel free to chime in if this is meaningful to you as well. And if AI is one of the things you count on and you're actually talking to Sigmoid about AI, or do you take it for granted? Rahul, let's start with you first.
Yeah, so so over the years, what I have seen is AI and machine learning and all these keywords are not well understood. And in reality, artificial intelligence, even now, is not equivalent to human intelligence in that sense. And when we talk about even general artificial intelligence, a lot of those keywords, it is very confusing in a sense, because you need to actually have a benchmark to create an AI which is similar to that benchmark that we have already seen. Now, these days, when we talk about something like artificial intelligence, we are actually referring to, from a marketing and other perspective, deep learning algorithms. And anything which we typically refer, machine learning is like traditional machine learning, which is a word which existed before deep learning was so prevalent. So there are some problems where this AI or deep learning is adding a lot of values and it is driving new initiatives. And there are a lot of problems where machine learning and traditional machine learning itself, by building a very, I think, interesting or relevant architectures, they can give you breakthrough performance. So it is about how to utilize these tools, and I'm calling these tools because ultimately, from a data scientist perspective, it is about using all the technologies as a tool to achieve business goal, right? And that is what we do for our customers. So, and what we have also seen specifically for from the industry perspective and CPG companies, so they can actually drive incremental revenue growth by more than 8 to 10%. Through some important initiatives. So demand forecasting seems to be a core problem which gets realized across all type of initiatives that CPG industry is taking, whether it is promotional intelligence, whether it is marketing insights, or even if we talk about supply and stocks and so on and so forth, and sort of distribution planning and so on. So there are a lot of aspects that demand forecasting covers. So having an accurate and granular model really helps. Another area which is driving a lot of value is hyper-personalized consumer experiences and hyper-personalized delivery of different sort. It could be a personalized pricing, it could be personalized promotions or experience on a website, and so on and so forth, right? And another important aspect that what we understand is creating a faster innovation cycles for all these AI initiatives, which is extremely important. Deep learning is driving new applications areas, typically an area where image processing is helping companies identify different ways of data measurement and customer performance measurement. And we have seen companies who are trying to build better retail delivery solutions out of that. So deep learning is also adding a lot of value. But despite the promise of artificial intelligence, many organizations and their efforts are falling short. And there are some specific reasons where needs to focus needs to be improved. And in our conversation, what we find is less than 20% of firms, they are not completely engaged in core AI and advanced analytics and have a widespread adoption of these technologies and these capabilities, right? So typically what we suggest our customers when they are trying to get into that journey and they are still in the early phase, that you need to focus on the most fundamental capability, which is building a faster innovation cycle. Now, there are multiple initiatives that supports this faster innovation cycle capability. I'll talk about two of them. So the first one is building a fully automated, quality-focused, real-time data infrastructure so that your data is available, it is real-time, fast, and it is automated, so you are not having manual intervention a lot of time, because that impacts quality significantly. And the second aspect is investing in a strong MLOps capabilities, because AI and machine learning is primarily an iterative approach. So you're trying to learn what is working and sort of gathering more data, and the algorithm is tuning itself. So as soon as you get a feedback from the market through this real-time data infrastructure that I'm suggesting to build, whenever you sort of create a new model or a new capability, that should get into action very fast. So building that capability is extremely important. So these are few aspects from AI perspective and sort of building those capabilities. Now, when we come to the kind of applications where these technologies can be used and where we are using it. So one of the example is consumer intelligence. So we have built for our customers AI-powered consumer intelligence engine, which not only constantly update and ingest real-time consumer data in a sort of fast manner, but also it measures metadata related to consumers' behavior, decision-making preferences, and sort of their actual decisions and interest. And then we use advanced machine learning techniques, and a lot of the different techniques depends on the kind of problem that you are trying to solve. To identify the affinity that these which business high business value actions these consumer can actually have a better affinity towards, so that you can generate recommendations that can not only maximize value for these consumers and customers, but also for the business, right? So that is one important aspect, and hyper personalization is adding a lot into that particular area where we have built capabilities to build models and intelligence at a single consumer level. And these capabilities also get self-optimized using reinforcement learning techniques so that you can learn a lot about the consumer and try to see maybe which of your techniques are actually working with the consumer, right? Rather than just building a single hypothesis and making it available to the real world. Demand forecasting, I already talked about. That is another important area which helps in that. So I think with this, I would like to pass it over to Taj and know his perspective, how his company and his group is achieving value and extracting value from artificial intelligence. Over to you, Taj.
Thank you, Rahul. That's obviously a very comprehensive answer, right? I mean, to your point, while AI is a buzzword, but let's not get caught up in the element of AI. I mean, the basic principle of machine learning and automation can still be a significant driver. And that's the best thing, right? So if you think about it, the best use cases that most marketing teams can really immediately focus on when you talk about machine learning is use what your native platforms come with. For example, Facebook's machine learning media optimization delivery tools. Right? You can literally go in there, turn on machine learning, let the algorithms optimize what campaigns are going to deliver. That's a very simple use case. Or you can build models or leverage models like Sigmoid discussed, like deliver personalization of website, right? Where you can allow prediction of the next best action, allow you to kind of show in next best product to sell, cross-sell and upsell, right? And then the other common example that most CPG companies are starting to realize and starting to gain traction is creative optimization, right? So machine learning can help deliver dynamic creatives or ads based on interaction of different elements in the creative, generating new creative in real time, actually, with no intervention required. So you put in a creative, you give it a few assets, and then machine learning will basically assemble the creative real time based on how the consumer is interacting. And that's pretty amazing. We couldn't have really done that 3 to 4 years ago. So the industry is developing, and it's, in fact, time to kind of board the train.
This man is going where nobody has dared to go before. So we're going to have even more fun now, Taj, which is machine learning and creative. Typically, everyone talks about machine learning for analytics on the day job, like reporting, insights. Marketing is a piece of it, but a lot of sales stuff as well. But you're talking about creative, which is for the first time we're getting into the paradigm of what humans have done for years and decades. But this today was not about creative, so I won't really give you a hard time on that, Taj. But maybe we should have you back and we should dive into deeper details at some point about that, because that is a big deal. If I didn't say so already, it's a big deal. But Raul, let's wrap up that segment of adding value with my co-host day job, which is, customer lifetime value. That's one of the things Fetch Rewards focuses on, as well as personalization. I mean, literally, those are his two favorite topics. So how are you driving value for your clients in CLTV? And also in hyper-personalization, can you just give us a bit about what your offerings are from Sigmoid?
Sure. So as Taj was saying, personalized recommendations that drive better CLTV are important initiatives for every consumer-focused brand to retain and improve their top-line growth, right? Now, CLTV, one important aspect is it's kind of a measurement that we are trying to do. And then we have to use a lot of different approaches, and personalized recommendation is one of them to improve that CLTV, right? So I'll start with touching upon the personalized recommendation, and then I'll talk a bit more about CLTV. So, and these use cases go beyond CPG space, and we are working with different industries, and they are actually applicable pan-industry. Be it e-commerce, retail, or for even banking and telecom industry, right? Now, companies must overcome two hurdles along the way to build these initiatives, primarily personalized and hyper-personalized initiatives. The first is lack of access to consumer-level data. So unless we have a good amount of consumer-level data at a single consumer level, we should not talk about hyper-personalized space. We can talk about personalized to certain level. And the second aspect is the absence of any channel to reach consumer in a personalized manner. So even if we have customer or consumer level insight, can we actually reach them in a manner with an action which is personalized to them so that they can sort of respond better through that interaction, right? So this consumer data that I'm talking about, it is important for individualistic intelligence and need to have a personalized channel that gives capability of execution on these consumer level insights. Now, further to that, personalized recommendations can be of two types, right? The first type is that most of the companies use is personalized at a segment level. So we treat consumer as a set of like-minded groups, and then we are actually personalizing for those groups. So in turn, we are personalizing for those consumer, but that is not exactly hyper-personalized. A second and more sophisticated achievement would be to have a hyper-personalized situation where we are treating single consumer as a unique individual. We are understanding more about them, their likeness and dislikes compared to other individuals, and then trying to figure out what are their unique behavior, decision-making aspects, right? What is the unique mix that an individual is built out of? And we have done this work with multiple Fortune 500 companies, catering to both of these different kind of personalized approaches, depending on their level of maturity and availability of either the data or the channels that they are targeting, and maybe what they are trying to, what they have from a data infrastructure and capability perspective at this point, what they want to invest in. So let me share a couple of examples. So we build a hyper-personalized offer building platform for one of the top cosmetics company in Latin America. And these models that we built, they were not only creating offers at a personalized level, but they were also identifying out of a large group of offers, which offers has the most affinity for the consumer to buy. And in terms of optimizing on the profitability as well as the basket size for the company. So the earlier approach is typically it is very, I think, easy approach to focus on reducing prices and getting a better performance. But then what we actually learned out of this experiment was you can actually achieve both at the same time. You can get better profitability as well as a better revenue if you are personalized and hyper-personalized to the consumer. A second example where we built personalized emails. So similar to what Taj was talking about a few minutes back, that what we build is personalized emails. So personalized content where we were looking at what kind of messaging works with these customers, what kind of format of these emails are working best, what kind of offer, pricing, and aspects that we can change in an email so that we can improve a better conversion to their stores, because it's a leading pizza chain. So what they are actually looking at is if we can get these customers to our stores, then it actually helps them improve actual sales, right? And it resulted in 8% sales uplift and around 10 to 12% improvement in these visits to these stores. Right. So in this particular scenario, although we were just trying out personalization at a segment level, but not at a hyper personalized level. Now, this is, I think, enough we talked about on a personalization side. So let's move on to CLTV front. So on the CLTV front or customer lifetime value, what we are looking at is we built a system for a global Fortune 500 company to improve their solution. It was an existing solution, and in a lot of cases, our customers ask us to sort of review their solution, which are already present, and give them a good boost from the current level. So the first thing that we actually help them identify is a good definition of customer lifetime value, right? How do you define it? What is, and specifically when you are going to define a churn, right? What is churn for you, right? And what is a different level of churn that you should be concerned about in a system rather than having a fixed threshold and those kind of approaches to sort of define your churn signal. The second important aspect is understanding the current and future potential of a consumer's value. So a consumer might be spending some amount with you at this point in time, but that doesn't actually give you complete understanding of what is their current potential and what will be their future potential. So understanding that actually gives you a better hold on their lifetime value. And so that you can also identify what are the different kind of investments you can make and which consumers are high potential consumers to build more stronger and better relationships so that you can improve their lifetime value. So in this particular scenario, our solution delivered 33% improvement in their marketing investment return at the entire segment that we were testing. So I think these are few of the examples where what we have seen is in these two particular areas, it was quite useful for our customers.
Taj, we've talked a lot of subjects here today, a lot. And you've also said a lot of those actually going in to how you're getting value from your partnership, right? But I want to go back to how this partnership started back in the past, which is you could have chosen to go with many analytics providers. There are a dime a dozen these days in the CPG industry and retail. What did you find different and compelling in Sigmoid's approach? And why did you pick them versus others?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, Sigmoid has been a preferred partner for a number of initiatives, right, which is data analytics or machine learning initiatives. And there are about three clear ways I think they've added value for us. First, I think they bring a lot of unique blend of data science, big data engineering, business consulting to build self-learning decision pipelines on cloud. So essentially taking all the data that we have, trying to understand the semantics of it and delivering business output. And you heard Rahul talk about the several examples, right? And they have an innovative approach to this problem solving and helps deliver tangible business results. And the reason they're able to do that is because their teams are pretty much invested in our business problems. So they understand what we're trying to solve on a day-to-day level basis, and they help actually deliver the output. And we found that to be very appealing for us. And the second really is the flexibility that they bring. So the custom, Rahul talks about so many examples. While they have a foundation, they know where they want to go. Most of the solutions are customized. You say, hey, look, here's a problem. Here's what I want to customize it. And the end of the day, one thing that we really like about this partnership is transparency into your machine learning models. And that's a difficult thing to crack, right? Because some of the companies that we work with, hey, this is a black box. This is how the model, how you get it. I want to understand the algorithm, how you actually get to the result, right? And so that's essentially a significant differentiator that we found in Sigmoid. And of course, the speed to market and the cost efficiency they're able to bring to maximize the ROI is also that we found very, very enterprising as well. So, I mean, I would definitely recommend giving them a shout if there's a real business problem that needs a solution. The flexibility and the commitment they bring to the table is highly recommended.
That is so good to hear, Taj, that you've actually quantified three different things over here. Rahul, the last question of the episode, we always try to look future forward. I want you to tell the audience, just like Taj did, Taj talked about why he picked you and Sigmoid. Rahul, you tell the audience why you feel you're better than many technology engineering analytics providers we talk to. What is your core value proposition that differentiates you, and why should a brand work with you versus somebody else?
So absolutely. So we have proven experience in delivering high business value for our clients. And when you work with us, it's very important for us that you get a feeling that you're working with a team who is driven to achieve business goals. And I think that is what I also mentioned in my initial introduction, that that is something we are very, very focused on. And there are four key factors that we focus on to achieve this particular aspect. The first most important factor is defining the success for a particular engagement in as objective as possible, because what we have learned through very hard cycles working with customers is the expectation of a customer, and the expectation, the way we understand it, should be as objective as possible. And if it is measurable, that is the best case scenario, so that we can assign a specific benchmark to where we are at the current state in the cycle of building any initiative. And where do we want to go? How do we measure it? And then as we go along, iteratively, we can look at where we are and sort of improve upon those specific metrics. From a machine learning perspective, another thing that we learned is it is extremely important that when we are defining analytical measurement KPIs for these models, they should directly replicate the business goal that we are trying to achieve, rather than using KPIs or sort of metrics which are very standard in a sense. But then depending on the business goal, you might be optimizing on a particular error metric or a kind of a metric which is not exactly aligned with the business KPI. So the model is actually trying to optimize for a completely wrong goal, and that make a lot of challenge in achieving business goal. Right. So these are some of the important aspects from defining the problem and defining the success in an objective manner. The second important aspect is having a very fast innovation cycle. So we have seen model and approaches that has built by a lot of companies that are very, very slow in terms of either your data infrastructure that you have built, which is very slow and it is not getting high quality data at a speed, or the machine MLOps aspect, which is building these machine learning models to scale, and also how much time they are taking for training and every iteration. And we have seen companies who have built systems which are taking days to get to this kind of performance. And that takes a very bad state in terms of when you are trying to sort of ideate and sort of experiment a lot, and which is important if we are trying to add value. So we build infrastructure where we can actually achieve very fast innovation cycles. So bring these systems from 10 days or 15 days to within 1 hour or a few minutes, right? That is very important, and it's a foundational aspect. The third important aspect is high impact business solutions. So focusing on the value that we are creating, and is it actually achieving some value for the business? And we need to be consistent and reliable in delivery, which is a very important aspect, because a lot of companies focus on, or our competitors, they focus on activities rather than goals, right? And for a customer, results are more important than what activities, because they don't even understand what jargons we are selling them in that sense. So we focus a lot on how we can make our process much more reliable using all the technologies that we are building, and how do we achieve high performance through our models. Last most important aspect is talent. We definitely need access to great talent, and we get the top talent from India and abroad. And we have a very efficient training process, and we are the largest data platform in the world that we run, and we process more than 300 terabyte data. So we have a very strong engineering capabilities that helps us also on a data science side. So I think all of these factors combined give us an edge compared to our competitors.
Holy moly, that's a lot, Raul. But I'm going to try and summarize what I took away from this episode. Number one, right up front, we talked about Sigmoid taking ownership of clients' results. We kind of got into the world of AI, ML, kind of decomposed how AI is meaningful on a day basis on the job. Talked about the strength of your engineering being the accelerated cloud capability and AI adoption and ML adoption, which is now mainstream for you, which results in hyper-personalization. And you can even touch in today's world, one of the most important capabilities, which we didn't get to today, but maybe in another episode, is RGM, because RGM literally determines how inflation is paced these days. Then Taj got into optimizing his marketing spend for Reckitt for e-commerce this way. We talked about how multi-touch attribution makes a massive difference, but the most important word he put out there was still, the work he's doing is resulting in go-forward organic outcomes. Very few ever say that on the show. And then I noted that speed to action, speed to market, you know, being able to do this stuff 1-2 weeks right after a campaign is just epic. Then we went into Dodgewind, where nobody goes before, which is ML and creative, for another episode. We'll come back to that as well. And then we wrapped it up with what are three meaningful things here that make a difference. And we got into the strength of Sigmoid is three unique things. Number one, data science and engineering, which we've already kind of declared. Innovative approach to problem solving and new capabilities coming on board. And then a word that I took away, Raul kind of said, goals versus activities. We focus on our clients' goals versus their activities. How I heard that is, you are invested in your clients' challenges and problems. That's a wrap of the show, folks. Let me remind our audience that you can find us simply by going to a browser and typing cpgguys.com. You can find all our content there. And if you think you have some thought leadership to contribute to our community discussion, drop us an email at contact@cpgguys.com, and maybe you can join us on the podcast. Don't forget to drop us a rating at ratethispodcast.com/cpgguys. Why do I say that? The rating tells us how we're doing. The review, when you do that, tells us what you like about the show, what you don't like, who should come on, what topics we should be talking about. One such topic was data insights, analytics, marketing spend, as well as ROI. And that's exactly what we did on this episode. Folks, thank you so much for the love you show us. 12K plus followers on LinkedIn. Very few have claimed to such a large audience. We know you love us. We love you back. Taj and Raul, thank you for appearing on the podcast today and being willing to go into spaces, just fun spaces in analytics. Thank you to the both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Sri. Thanks for having us.
Pleasure, gentlemen. That's a wrap for this episode. We will see you back soon on another episode of the CPG Guys.
The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.